Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabalabhapahimam. When the Govardhan retreat began this year, I felt very happy seeing so many faces of friends who have been here every year and other friends I hadn't seen in many years from America and other places. And I really felt the sense that this was a sangha and a family. And we were trying to do our little service for the pleasure of Sachinandan Maharaj and Burijan Prabhu and the others to try to speak something. As we were preparing this discussion about Kaliyadamana Leela, a question came in my mind. It was a little bit of a disturbing question. And I contemplated in different angles and I read through different literatures about this pastime and I didn't find any answer. And so I was thinking to myself that on the last day, I'll put forward this question to all the devotees and encourage you all to think about an answer and try to find it. And then it so happened that day we were walking around Giriraj and chanting, and an answer came to my mind. And I'd like to share that with you today. I think you might find it appropriate at this time. Kaliya is used as an example by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami and many of our acharyas as a personality who really got the mercy of Krishna. But when I was contemplating the Leela, I didn't feel very satisfied with that. And a question came. The acharyas have said that Kali is an example of someone who got a lot of mercy. Well, we can't argue with our acharyas. But at the same time, for those devotees who are aspiring for residence in Vrindavan, how can we think of Kali as an example of great mercy? He was someone, he really got the mercy of Krishna. Krishna sent him away from Vrindavan. Go away. And I found that a little disturbing. So we were contemplating on this point, and two conclusions came to my mind, two obvious facts, and then we tried to put them together. One is that Krishna sent Kaliya home. Kaliya's home was Ramanaka Dweep. That's where he was born, the son of Kadru, and Kashyapa Muni, and living there. And later, by, as we were describing a few days ago, by the mercy of the mantra that he'd gotten from Ananta Sesh, he was able to come and stay in the Jamuna River for many yugas. So this is one point, that Krishna sent him home, back to Ramanaka Dweep. We all know this. There's another point. The Bhagavatam and other literatures describe that Krishna danced on the heads of Kaliya. In fact, he put his footprints on Kaliya's head. And not just that, but Sanatan Goswami, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says that Krishna also brought the gopis with him on Kaliya's heads, and they were doing the Ras Leela there. So we were contemplating this. What does it mean when Krishna does the Ras Leela with the gopis? What is the nature of that place? That place becomes a great Mahatirtha. So Kaliya's heads are a great Tirtha. Kaliya, in effect, in that one sense, he became like Vrindavan. Just as Srila Prabhupada, he's wanted the devotees to establish Vrindavan in our hearts. And as the Bhagavatam describes, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabrita. That the devotees, they carry Vrindavan wherever they go. So, just as Krishna sent Kaliya home after making him into a kind of moving Vrindavan, so Srila Prabhupada also wanted us to establish Vrindavan in our hearts. And then what did Srila Prabhupada do? what happens at the end of the Govardhan retreat. We all have to return home. But not in an ordinary sense. We should bring that Vrindavan with us in our hearts. So this Kaliya Damana Leela is described by Thakur Bhaktivinoda. It means how Krishna drove out malice and envy from Vrindavan. And as we were describing, Kaliya means Kaliya iti Kala Iya. Kaliya means that person who's a resident, Iya, resident, of these qualities of Kala. Kala means black, Kala means night, Kala means iron, and Kala means envy and criticism. And Hrada, that place of Kaliya, means a deep lake, but Hrada comes from the same bij dhatu of Hrida, or heart. So our heart, we want to make like Vrindavan, but Kaliya is poisoning this Vrindavan. So Kali is poisoning Vrindavan because he's killing the residents of Vrindavan. If we want to establish Vrindavan in our hearts, we have to learn how to love devotees. We were giving some seminar on this topic this year in Ukraine, and one brahmachari became a little disturbed. How are you saying we should love devotees? Love is in the material world. We love Krishna. We don't love other persons in this world. And that gave us a little inspiration to research this topic further. I'd like to read you a few statements. Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture in Los Angeles in 1970, said, in the second platform, meaning the Madhyama Adhikari, we should not only love God, but we should make friendship with devotees who are loving God. That is society. Our society is devotees, just like Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a Brijbasis. And Kaliya was poisoning Vrindavan with his malice and criticism. There was no place for him there. The Prabhupada said, our society is devotees. We should not only practice to love God, but we should make friendship and love the devotees also. And this same point is made in the Satvata Tantra, which is a tantric literature of bhakti, which is quoted many times by different acharyas. And it's described there that we should learn how to associate with devotees. It's described, Hali Lila Shuto Chara Pareshu Satatam Tvaya Kaya Pritistavaharer Yatta Bhaktinanashiti. We should always love devotees. Why should we love devotees? We should love those persons who are devoted to hearing Krishna's pastimes. And if we do that, then Yatta Bhaktinanashiti, our bhakti will always be preserved. These Vrindavan villages that Prabhupada wanted us to establish all over the world, beginning with our hearts, those Vrindavan villages will be protected if we learn to love devotees by associating with them in Krishna Katha. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says that we should learn how to associate with devotees by coming together and hearing Krishna Katha. And we should have loving relationships. We should love people who like to hear Krishna Katha. We should love people who speak Krishna Katha. We should love being with devotees in kirtan. We should love our children. We should love doing kirtan with them. We should love hearing and speaking about Krishna with them, as Mother Urmila was describing. We should love our husbands. We should love our wives in Krishna consciousness as devotees. We should have loving relationships. This is Vrindavan. We should love to come together and hear and chant about Krishna. This is the purpose of this retreat. And this is the purpose of this katha, this Kaliya Damana Leela, to show us how to establish Vrindavan villages in our heart. But we have to drive out the black snake of envy and criticism of Kaliya and drive him away. And I was thinking about Kaliya, how Kaliya is very much like myself. I'm so full of envy and criticism of others. So then I was feeling a little worried. Now Krishna may drive me out from Vrindavan. But Kali has been marked by Krishna in the same way that we've all been marked by Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers. So wherever we go, we should keep those marks on our heads. And we should keep that holy name there. And we should bring Vrindavan with us. We should bring this Govardhan retreat with us. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vancha kopadaru duscha kripasindu bhivacha pritanam pavani vaishnavi.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Praskatya Desitarane. So, this retreat, I must say, in many ways has been quite strenuous for me. Trying to keep ahead of the deadlines of the classes in the evenings and trying to internally pray and understand what I was meant to be presenting was quite a challenge because generally I think most of us, we kind of do what we just feel like. And sometimes when you want to do something that's very carefully done, it takes a lot more intellectual effort. So I came with a desire to share with you something that was really actually personally my own meditation that was made very vivid to me that evening, afternoon at Krishna Kund in Barshana, looking up at the tree and looking down into the water and seeing the rippling reflection. And then thoughtfully seeing the vibrancy and three-dimensional nature of the tree with birds and so forth, and also seeing how easy it was to disturb the waters and almost completely sort of damage the authenticity of that reflected image. So I wanted to share with you my desire to personally continue on the work of transferring from the bottom of the reflection up to the reality or the real tree. Yet, of course, I feel quite unqualified to speak in front of so many devotees who are much more serious in their practices than I am. When Urmila was talking about the big devotees and she pointed over this way, I understood that she didn't see me. She was pointing to the men. So, because I never can even imagine myself as a big devotee. I can certainly admit that I'm an old devotee, you can see. But big is another thing, because big means that all your practices have developed to such a degree that you're very, very strong and capable of helping so many others. I know that's not my case, but I do know that I want to share this, and I also want to actually one day be able to do this transfer. Now, there was one time in 1986, something happened to me that was extremely profound, and to this day I still remember it. It was the first Braj Mandal Parikrama, and we had visited most of the Vrindavan forests when one of the organizers of the parikrama spoke to Lokanath Maharaj, who was the main organizer, and suggested that we had left a couple of forests out. So they quickly changed the plan, and they suggested that all us Western parikramis, who had never done such a thing before, should cross the Jamuna River, holding our dhotis and saris up to as high as possible, because it was cool to cold weather. It was cold Jamuna water and it was quite deep, and we had to walk across the Jamuna to Bandirvan. And then, you were there? And then we had to all walk back. And then, by that time, it was getting dark. And Maharaj must remember very clearly, because it was so dark and we didn't really know where we were. It was a very, very profound experience for me. There were so many elements of that adventure that were very deeply moving. But the one I wish to share with you was that we were walking in the dark. If you can picture this. On one side, if you looked down, you could see the sparkling Jamuna waters. And on the other side, you could just see dark. You didn't know what was there. Nobody seemed to know where we were, what we were doing, except that on that side, after a large drop, was the Jamuna. So we were walking along this ridge beside, later we found out these were agricultural fields. And so every now and again, somebody who stepped a little to the left would find themselves up to their ankles in mud because of the way they irrigate the fields. And of course, nobody was foolish enough to step to the right because they could see what would happen. And along this path, and you can imagine this is the edge of the field, so some parts it's very wide, and some parts it gets very thin, and so forth. And as you see here, some parts there's thorns, some parts there are even thistles. And we're walking in the dark, line one after another, and all I found myself doing was watching the feet in front of me. Nothing else had any meaning to me except to look at those feet. And it was so precarious that if those feet, if that person moved slightly and went, "Oh, don't move there, keep moving." Now you might step on a thorn or a thistle doing the opposite step to what they had just done, but don't do what they did because that ended up in a thorny patch. So you keep a little away from that and try to keep going. And suddenly in the dark, as we were walking along, it suddenly occurred to me, this is like Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is dark, and on either side it's precarious, and we're not really sure exactly where we are. And not only that, all we have for our association is those who are walking with us. And it didn't matter if the person in front of me was a so-called big devotee, there were sannyasis there. It didn't matter who they were. All I had to do was keep my eyes on their feet. And some kindly devotees, they had a light, and they would swing the light backwards and forwards. And even that was insufficient, because when the light was there, it would illuminate something, but the very next minute the light was gone, because they were swinging it to try to help us along the journey. So the only thing left was the feet. Look at those feet. Concentrate on those feet. And walk quickly, because somebody behind is concentrating on your feet. So I think this is very much the theme of what I would like to share, that we should make our way back there to the place of reality, to the place that we're longing to actually be. And we should try to do two things. Concentrate on those who happen to be ahead of us, whether they're big devotees, little devotees, or whatever, and be a good example for the people who are walking behind us, who also need somebody's feet to concentrate upon. So I would like to say thank you to all the devotees, as everyone else has expressed, for your interest, your attendance, and your enthusiasm, because it's definitely true that when one is trying to prepare to speak, so much of one's confidence comes from the response that comes from those who are hearers. If they're yawning and falling asleep, you begin to wonder whether you've actually been able to convey the subject that you are hoping to share with them. So thank you for your patience, and I hope that those who come often will come again, and those that don't come so often will start coming again, and that we will meet each other again here by the side of Giriraj, so that we continue on with our journey onwards and upwards beyond this Kali realm. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Om Agnatme Nandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksusumilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dajati Sapandandikam. When Mataji pointed to the big devotees, Madhavananda Prabhu was thinking she must mean Prabhupada's disciples. Jagatrini was thinking, must be the men. I was thinking, must be the sannyasis. Maharaj was thinking, Giriraj Maharaj is the most senior. Must be him. And he's passed it to Giriraj. The best of all devotees, and we all agree. In 1976, in March, I had the fortune to be in Sridhar Mayapur. And that was a very special time for me. Somehow or another, I put up a little tent. And I lived in a little tent, right now between the two buildings, where these two trees are there. There's trees still there. And I lived between those trees in a little tent. But of course, there was only one building there at that time. But in any case, I listened to Srila Prabhupada's lectures very, very carefully. And because I was listening very carefully and taking notes, my consciousness was focused on his words. And I was actually perceiving at that time something that I never perceived before about Srila Prabhupada's words, and I couldn't perceive after that, even though I heard Prabhupada's words after that. I was actually perceiving that his words were descending from the spiritual world, and they were entering my heart in that way, my consciousness, that this was the absolute truth descending in the form of sound vibration. And Srila Prabhupada was so powerful that there could be hundreds and hundreds of devotees in the room, and each one of them could be experiencing Prabhupada's words speaking just to them. And on that particular day, now by the virtue of folio, I would like to read what Prabhupada said, at least segments of what Prabhupada said. And it very much answers the question, is it possible to take the mysterious sweetness and association, is it possible to take the Govardhan retreat back with us? And this is very much also takes Madhavananda Prabhu saying that not if you keep the black Kali in your heart, but you have to keep Krishna's feet on your head. And very much what our Jagtwini Mataji is saying, that if you want to not be overpowered by the reflection, which is always moving and confused by it, that you have to be focused on something else, the reality of the image and the manasiksha, and same message. And Prabhupada's service as a humble servant of Prabhupada, that Giriraj Maharaj is always emphasizing. Nothing more than a humble servant of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada's lecture, and it's just a short segment of that, a compilation of parts of that, really answers that question. Please listen carefully. Prabhupada said, just like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavan Krishna, they are identical. There is no difference. When I am reading Bhagavad Gita with the desire that I shall be able to associate with devotee and Krishna, bringing the consciousness into the reading, then Bhagavad Gita is none different from Krishna. There is no difference. If you are a devotee, bona fide devotee, when you read Bhagavad Gita, you must know Krishna is there. So Prabhupada is saying a bona fide devotee is one who thinks in this way when reading the Bhagavad Gita, that here I'm associating with Krishna. And indeed, Krishna manifests due to that consciousness. And then Prabhupada continues, if you are a pure devotee, when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is there on your tongue, dancing. Don't think otherwise. So Krishna is actually already there in the Bhagavad Gita. He's already there in the holy names, and we can capture him if our consciousness is proper. Krishna is there, Nama Chintamani Krishna. Nama, anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna without any offense, 10 kinds of offense, you know that. By avoiding offense, if you chant Hare Krishna, then you must know Krishna is there. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Pona Shuddha Nitya Mukto Abhina Tvam Nama Namano. Similarly, when we read literature. So this was so much the message of, that Sachinanda Maharaj was giving us, that Krishna is there in the name, Krishna is there in the literature, let us be there. Krishna is already there, but we have to be there. And I would like to add my amazement, which is more than appreciation, that despite Maharaj's health condition, that he was there speaking. And when he was there, he was really there. And no one even could understand that he was so ill. I have to say thank you so much for that. I mean, it was so awe-inspiring for me to see that. And also, so thank you. And then Prabhupada continues. Similarly, when we read literature, it is Lila Katha. Lila Katha. It is not just a book. It is Lila. Just like we are reading now Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Lila Katha of Krishna and his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. This is Lila. Exchange of dealings between devotee and the Lord. The whole Bhagavatam. It is called Bhagavata. Why? The only subject matter is Bhagavan and Bhakta. That's all. Bhagavan is the Lord and Bhakta is devotee. It has no other. You won't find any newspaper item that there was an earthquake in London and this and that. You don't find all these things. It is not like that. Tad vyasya tirtham. It is not for the enjoyment of the crows-like men. It must be swan, hansa. Let us be engaged always, chanting or reading the pastimes of the Lord, Lila Katha. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, it is full of Lila Katha, the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So that is the only way to get out of the miserable condition of this material world. It is the only way to be always in Vrindavan. The consciousness of the devotee has to be there through the holy names, through kirtan, through speaking about Krishna. When you read or hear or chant about the pastimes of the Lord, that is also kirtan. And if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra with instruments, that is also kirtan. There is no difference. So we must engage kirtaniya sada hari. Either we should chant Hare Krishna, and this is Prabhupada speaking to the devotees in Mayapur, young devotees, but he's presenting us with the way that we could actually be always there with Krishna. Either we should chant Hare Krishna mantra or we should read our books. This is wanted. Then we will be safe from Maya. And then he ends with a word of caution. Otherwise, at any time, we can be victimized. And then Prabhupada said, thank you very much. So I will also say, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Very right.
Now, our Giriraj Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Yesterday I read from my initiation letter. Srila Prabhupada began, "My dear Giriraj." I didn't know what my name was until then. "Please accept my blessings. Your name is Giriraj. Giriraj is a name for Govardhan Hill, where Krishna used to tend his cows." And then he goes on to explain how devotees take stone from Govardhan Hill and worship it as representation of Krishna. Before I met the devotees, I was very proud of my family name. Our whole family was Titan. Our family name was Titan. And as far as we knew, the 12 of us were the only Tetons in the world. And there's a mountain range called the Grand Tetons and a national park. And identification was so strong that I would often find evidence, you know, that the Teton Mountains were the best place. There was a television program called The Millionaire I used to watch every week. And in it, a wealthy man gives $1 million to someone. And then the show would follow what happened to the person who got $1 million. And it wasn't always very happy. There was often many reversals in the person's life after receiving $1 million. So in one show, the hero was chose to stay in the Teton Mountains. So this was another confirmation. And then later I found that Alfred Ford, who also could have afforded to live anywhere, he was living in the Teton Mountains. He had gotten a book, and he was writing to the mail order department of the BBT, and they were sending him books to the Teton Mountains. So this identification was very strong. So I got the letter, you know, Giriraj is a name of Govardhan Hill. And I thought, I already had the idea, but again I thought, Srila Prabhupada knows everything. He knows that I was attached to my mountain name, so he gave me another mountain name. And I was so happy. So I tell this story to make a point, which is that our process is not like that of the impersonalists who try to negate, you know, neti neti, not this, not that. But we replace something inferior with something superior. Like, okay, the Teton Mountains are all right, but we have something better. We have Govardhan Hill. So now we don't care about the Teton Mountains. And that is very encouraging, because the process of negation is very difficult and almost futile. I mean, practically, it's futile. So, I was Giriraj Das Brahmachari and serving Srila Prabhupada in India, traveling and preaching. And we visited one town. I don't remember exactly which one, but I think Madhya Pradesh Madhya Pradesh, Uttar Pradesh. And somehow we visited the home with Srila Prabhupada. We visited the home of someone who I'd met a few times, and somehow he was like very, he was enthusiastic about me, you know, an American come to India, engaged in Krishna's service, chanting Hare Krishna. And a few times he mentioned Giriraj. He mentioned to Prabhupada, Giriraj. And then Prabhupada said, not Giriraj, Giriraj Das. Now, my initial reaction, I'm ashamed to admit, was I was a little rankled. I mean, why is Prabhupada saying that about me? I mean, everyone knows the Das is there, but we don't all say, like, Shyam Sundar Das. We don't always say the Das. You know, why me? You know, why is he saying, why Giriraj Das? So, in retrospect, I'm thinking, well, that is our problem. You know, we don't like the Das suffix. But that is our actual identity. And, Giriraj Das, Giriraj is Krishna, so Krishna Das. But as we've been discussing, Govardhan is the servant not only of Krishna, but of Goganayo, the cowherd boys and cows and calves and all of Krishna's associates. So this is our real identity, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. But that false ego is very deeply entrenched in us. And for me, one of the most purifying effects of the retreat was somehow having more clear perception of that false ego, which is a very elaborate construction that we have made to try to maintain the false position of being the enjoyer and the controller and the proprietor. And sometimes when I would confront that, I would think, you know, this is never going to go away. I mean, this is stronger than anything. I mean, hearing the Krishna Katha just seems to make it rise up even stronger than it was before. So there were definitely some very humbling experiences. But I am happy to say, at least it seems so at this stage, that the strength of the false ego was somewhat illusory, because it's being worn down, sort of like Krishna dancing on the heads of Kali. It's being worn down by Krishna, by the association of Krishna in the form of the holy name, in the form of Krishna Katha, in the form of the wonderful dramas and dramatic recitations, and in the form of Govardhan Hill. And that is our process, the positive process of replacing, not negating, but replacing. And I had that experience vividly in the last retreat during the all-day kirtan at Krishna Kund, that our heart is like a vessel, and it may have a lot of poison in it. But Krishna's name, Krishna's pastimes, any any way in which we associate with Krishna is like nectar. And if we keep exposing ourselves to that flow of nectar, that flow of nectar will enter our hearts and flush out all the poison and dirt. But we have to keep ourselves exposed, open. We have to go to a place where that nectar exists, Krishna, in one form or another, and keep our hearts as open as possible to receiving Krishna in our hearts. And that will dissolve, it will flush out all the other stuff. So when we go back to our places, that's what we have to do. I deliberately did not use the word home because I think that's another realization from this visit, is that place that I came from on the airplane isn't my home. This is my home. It used to be I would go to my so-called home and think, well, let's see if I can fit this into my schedule next year. How much of this can I fit into my schedule? But now I'm thinking, this is my home. I don't even know if that other place is going to fit in. Well, I guess it will. I guess it will. I do have service there. But this is my real home. So I hope to spend more and more time here, especially at these retreats with all of you. I'm very indebted to Burijan Prabhu for having begun the retreats, and to Sajinandan Swami for having collaborated with him, and to both of them for encouraging me to be with them, and to all of you. Because this, it's said about Krishna, he's like a beautiful jewel, but the gopis are like the setting for the jewel, and by and Krishna with the gopis, it's like the jewel is glorified by the setting, and the setting is glorified by the jewel, so. But of course, in an ultimate sense, there's really no difference between the speakers and the audience. We're all just servants trying to serve in different capacities. And that association of servants is beautiful. And I pray to be part of it always. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare.
This is our 11th Govardhan retreat. That means for 11 consecutive years, this retreat has been taken place without fail. And I believe at the end of this retreat, we all, teachers and participants alike, feel, wow, that was something. It's almost like a journey. When it's completed, you feel, this was, das war was, this was something, you know. Sometimes I just think the mother tongue carries very strong meanings. So I hope that this was something for all of you, and that you have found something. I would like to encourage you, the real effect of the of the Govardhan retreat can be felt afterwards. You will see when you go to the place which you use to call home that something is different with you and your relationship. And you might, in relationship to the place, you might also see, oh, it's a pity that I begin to feel this is home. It's a pity. It's not normal. I wish I would be different, but I need another Govardhan retreat next year. I would like to give a point, a small point for you, which I request you to think about very deeply. This morning I heard a lecture of Srila Prabhupada which I found particularly relevant to my own life and my own musings. Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Los Angeles, and I believe it was a public program because he addressed his audience with, "My dear ladies and my dear gentlemen, I am great. Thank you for kindly participating in this program of Krishna consciousness." He used to use these words when he addressed the uninformed public. And then he starts his lecture in a very interesting way. He goes back in time and he says, when I was incorporating and registering this society, a friend came to me and said, and talked with me about the name of the society. He said, "Better you don't call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is much better here in America if you use a known word. Call it the International Society for God Consciousness." And it was clear from how Prabhupada dealt with the point that he thought about this point, but he decided differently. He said it, no, I called it Krishna consciousness, because if there is a name for God which fits best, it is Krishna. Why? Because the name Krishna carries the meaning of what is God, the best. It means the all-attractive one. And then he said, in Vrindavan, he starts with the bees were attracted to Krishna, the trees, the birds, and he goes through the fauna and flora of Vrindavan. That means the plant population and the living, the animal and human population, all are attracted to Krishna. So therefore, because of this all attractedness, that must be Krishna. It was said about Michael Jackson that when he danced, girls would faint. But men would think, this idiot. He was not all attractive. Hare Krishna. I read this on an airplane. And I thought, one day I use it. The mosquitoes were not attracted to Michael Jackson. Maybe to his blood. The dogs, not. You know, the Rolling Stones fans, certainly not. What I want to say, only as a relatively small section was attracted to this person. To Krishna, everyone is attracted. When they would see Krishna, we saw that in the Venu Gita, even the rivers were attracted to Krishna. They stopped their flow and built whirlpools, which indicated that they were totally in their hearts, totally churned, the attraction churned their hearts. So Prabhupada insisted, no, this is Krishna consciousness, not God consciousness. Now, I would like to say something to poke a little bit at your egos. My dear devotees, how attracted are you to the personal form and activities of Krishna in Vrindavan? I want to remind you of my experience in ISKCON, and I'm happy that Urmila Mataji had the same experience. Nowadays in our society, if you talk about Krishna and you say his lips are red like bimba fruits, you know, devotees look at you and say, and look at you and think, is this appropriate? Some might even think of you that you have some sexual disorder to think about this. Our movement has fallen asleep to Krishna. It has to be awakened again. Because the Krishna concept, this is now very important, is something which your material mind can't think. You have to have a spiritually informed mind, not a worrying mind, not an anxiety-laden mind, not a materially full mind. You have to agree that the mind gets transformed, mana shiksha, by the instruction. And that's a hard thing to do. That's something which comes to you when you see that, oh my God, I'm... my relationship to Krishna. I mean, we are called Krishna consciousness. We don't think about Krishna so much. We think it's strange. There is a chapter in the book Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. It's a book of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is highly interesting because it describes really the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. And then he comes to the sixth, he calls it a rainfall because it's so nectarian, these chapters. Huh? His chapters are rainfalls. And he says, he calls it, the chapter is for those aspiring for love, for prema. And he says, those who want love in their life, prema, love of Godhead, the very first thing they have to understand, that Krishna, his name, the Yamuna, the land of Vrindavan, are not material. It's all spiritual. It's all transcendental. If you wish to have love for Krishna, you must engage your mind with these things. Things is not the right word. With Krishna, with his land, and so on. Otherwise, you will not get towards the goal of Krishna consciousness, to love of Krishna. It will not happen to you. So, my dear devotees, you must know that the aim of your spiritual practice in this movement for Krishna consciousness is really to draw the mind away from matter and to fix it on Krishna. As long as our mind will remain attached to matter, our bhajan, that means our spiritual practice, will be at best shallow. Mostly it will not be even there. This point of thinking about Krishna with the mind and filling the mind with Krishna is not something which is on the second place or the third place or some place. It is the first and foremost place. It's because of helping us that Srila Prabhupada hurried in his translation of the Bhagavatam. And before coming systematically to the 10th canto, I mean, after doing the translation of all the 9th canto, he said, I don't know if I live long enough. Let me better now give the devotees information on Krishna, personal information on Krishna. And he made a summary of the 10th canto in the form of the Krishna book. He considered it so important that he broke the rule of authorship, and he just jumped ahead with the story. He knew the Bhagavatam would install Krishna in the mind of the people. It's one of the five factors which give you a love for Krishna. And he knew, especially the 10th canto, which is carefully presented with the preceding, or carefully prepared by the preceding 9th canto, is so important to inject Krishna into our dull minds. And he wanted to do that. He came for this. He considered this very important. So, where I'm aiming at is something which I want to call out to the world. I want to stand on the streets and open my arms and call it in the ears of the passengers. And I want to storm the GBC room uninvited, stand on the table and say, Prabhujis, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then I want to jump off the table and run out. because they are intelligent devotees and very good devotees and very strategically thinking devotees. This is a very important point. Our movement is not the movement for the philosophical delineation of certain principles and the rules which impart those principles so that the God can be established. It's about a cowherd boy in a village and the love for him. This is a very, very challenging concept, especially for us Westerners, and also still for me. I'm not saying I'm beyond I'm there, not at all. You need to make your mind your friend. That means you need to learn how to think of Krishna. Therefore, mana shiksha is important. It's not less important. The rishis of old have gone through all the Vedic scriptures, back and forth, and after studying them all, they have found out that it's all about two things: to always remember Krishna and to never forget him. So in this Govardhan retreat, all the presenters have done their level best to bring us to not God consciousness, but to Krishna consciousness. And it's I request you to take this momentum, this inspiration to your heart. Finally, I want to say, if you don't do this, you might be in the situation of the old woman. There was once an old woman. Now, listen carefully. This is not about old women are forgetful or something. This is about us. She came to a lecture, a series of lectures on the Ramayana. There was this Brahmin Pandit marked her because this woman would shed tears, abundant tears, while she listened to the Ramayana. The Pandit got really inspired. My God, this is my best audience. She takes the matter of the Ramayana to heart. She cries for Rama. So every day his ego became more inflated as a good Ramayan Katakara. And then one, when the Kata ended, he just called the woman out of the crowd to come to him and said, "My dear old lady, you are crying when I talk?" "Yes," said the lady. "It touches my heart very much." So the Pandit thought, finally someone appreciates the high quality of my Rama Katha, which is full of Rama Bhava. He said, he smilingly wanted to evoke a more glorifying answer. Even she said, "Why do you cry so much? What particular narration moves you so much that you cry? Please say." And she said, "I'm crying because I had a goat, and the goat died 8 days ago. And when I look at you, your beard, is it called beard or beard? Sorry, your beard reminds me so absolutely of the beard of my late goat that I'm just crying for my goat. My goat was called Zisi." The Pandit was shocked. "You are laughing, but my dear devotees, don't we do this often? When we are in Krishna, in this movement where we should be Krishna conscious, we are so often so goat conscious, I mean so material conscious. We get it all wrong. We have a unique opportunity, but because we have not yet arisen to the actual fact that this is all about Krishna, loving Krishna, this is the goal, and this is we have to try again that Krishna comes in our mind, then we just don't get it, and we join the rank and files of universal spiritual failures. A chance missed. That is how we can, this is the heading of our life. My dear devotees, who can help us in this deplorable situation? The example of the rivers of Vrindavan can help us. When Krishna would play his flute in the distance, the rivers of Vrindavan stopped, and they so much wanted to embrace the lotus feet of Krishna. They wanted Krishna, but they couldn't. They could go a little bit about the embankments of the river, but Krishna would not always play his flute right there on the banks of the Jamuna. He would be in the forest. And the rivers then thought, we are stationary. We don't move out of our river. We are not stationaries, but we can't move out of the confinements of the river banks. We are confined there. We have to flow there. We can't just flow 1 kilometer or half a mile through the forest of Vrindavan and just catch Krishna's lotus feet. We are not that fortunate. We can't go there. But still they thought, who can help us to get Krishna, to get the touch of Krishna? And then they thought, well, we have to go to the follower of Krishna, the wind. The wind is always around Krishna. It caresses his soft body. It carries the fragrance of Krishna's body to the devotees who are in pain out of separation from him. And he can walk freely here and there and everywhere. So they prayed to the wind, and the wind, you know, everyone in Vrindavan is Satchit Ananda, full of bliss and knowledge and consciousness, heard the prayer, and it took the dust of Krishna's lotus feet and blew it to the rivers, and then the rivers felt the touch of the dust which is imbued with the Rati, with love, with pure love of Godhead, because Krishna's feet have touched it and it printed the love on the dust. So when we come to, when we want to develop Krishna consciousness, or when we want to, how do you say, to inject into our mind Krishna, we have to know where we, who are also a little immovable in our consciousness, who are always the same, who seem to not change, where can we get help from? In India there is a saying, it's easier to move the Himalayan mountains than to move a person's character. Before coming to Braj, we visited Bararikashrama, and I tried to move a little bit the mountain just to be prepared for this concluding lecture. And I just breathed very yogically. And then I went to the mountain and tried to move it. I know already I can't do it, but and while I was trying this, I became very convinced that the mountain cannot move. It's I even have still shoulder pain when I did this active learning exercise, you know. It's very difficult to move a mountain, but it's more difficult to move you. And me is most difficult to move. Where is help? Where is help? Where is help in this situation? The help comes from that these generals of devotees, the real big devotees, the it was interesting how you all felt when Urmila came with this ISKCON appellation, the big devotees. You know, we somehow had an ISKCON jargon. The oldest are the big devotees. And you know, when this word floated here to the speakers, I noticed big devotees, everyone went like, that's not me, you know. Madhavananda got a little deeper. It means in physical size, his spine just moved a little, bent a little bit more, and it came to, and the word floated to me and said, "It's not me. I know who I am. It must be Giriraj Maharaj." And then I learned from Burijan that everyone thought it's that this is the big devotee there, Giriraj, you know. Yes, we need to go to those. We need to have the social platform intact in ISKCON. Yes, we need to serve the devotees who are here, and Krishna will be satisfied. Very, very important. Very good. Very necessary. We need to establish communities of cares, of loving care, and Krishna will be satisfied. But we need to also read books like Krishna book, where we hear Srila Prabhupada's life breath. We need to follow the words of the gopis in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam when they describe Krishna. We need to go to Mana Shiksha and allow ourselves to get a solid bashing, ego bashing, when Raghunath Goswami talks about the different bad qualities and so on. And we need to be there, be here in Krishna consciousness exactly now. This is very important. You have to connect with this and to connect with Krishna. And if this Govardhan retreat has helped you in this awareness, if this Govardhan retreat has given you some deep impressions, if this Govardhan retreat has helped you to become a little bit more desirous to hear about Krishna, then this retreat was a success. If the Govardhan retreat has helped you to understand that there's still some room of improvement in the life, then it's also successful. Some devotees told me, "Oh, Maharaj," they said, I could understand that there is still some room of improvement in my life. And I said, "Wonderful, wonderful. I understood this the whole Kartik in my life, how important that it is to enter this room." So I request you all very, very gently. I want to now switch off this intensity and so on. I really request you from my heart, please, my dear devotees, as you return, return marked with Krishna. Don't rub this mark off your mind. Your mind has now been marked by hearing so much. Don't rub it off. Don't put so much mundane things over it. Don't put anxieties over it. Don't wipe it off. Keep that mark on your mind. Be proud of this mark in your mind. And please also consider to return to Giriraj next year. Make it a sadhana, part of your life, to come to Vrindavan and in the sacred atmosphere here, and inspire others as well. Please, this is not a geographical spot like so many other geographical spots in the world. It's a place where love of Krishna can be most easiest to be had. So please come back again and again, inspire others, and please hear more about Krishna. When you chant, connect your mind with the vibration first, and you will see when you have done that, when the mind is resting in the sound will carry it to Krishna, because the sound is Krishna. You will see all these wonderful things. Don't remain the eternal neophyte in ISKCON. Bring life to your spiritual life by remembering Krishna and not forgetting him. Seek help from the great devotees and their wonderful books, but seek also help from each other. Meet devotees, talk about Krishna, chant Krishna in these. It's Kali Yuga, it's a dark age. We need the light of Krishna shining from his toenails through the darkness of this age. We need that very much. Finally, I want to thank you very much, and I want to excuse myself. Sometimes I'm a little bit annoying. I know this. I have heard this. It's for a good reason. I want to say things in a way that you note them, but deep in my heart, I know you are much bigger devotees than myself, and I need your blessings, and all the best for you. Really, all the best. And before you leave the sacred area, just turn to Giriraj. Actually, maybe we should do this now. And sing? Or you have something else in mind?
No, I think we now it's the time for the ending. If you'd like to end it in that way, okay.
Or do you
just have everyone turn. And
yes. Actually, Bhujan Prabhu, you are best suited.
No. Please continue.
All right, so now comes the time of turning, your turning point, again and again. Look to Giriraj. We will sing just 3 Hare Krishna mantras, then I will stop, and we will then offer our individual prayers in silence. And in this way, conclude the retreat.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We request you to sit for a minute in silence and fill this minute with a prayer or with a communication. The idea is connection, relationship. It will be actually 1.5 minutes is a good time. Please start now. Hare Krishna. This is the beginning of your Govardhan retreat. Part 2.
Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe,
everyone put your hands in the air.
Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Shab Balo Giriraj Balo Yaki Balo Giriraj ki bolo giriraj daran ki jai jai Sri Radhe, jai jai Sri Radhe, jai jai Sri Radhe.
Shah.